ThisEpicLife.com presents The Manifesto, defining our non-negotiables. Non-negotiable number one, soul. The relationship we cultivate with our inner selves or higher power is the foundation for everything in our lives. When you're out of sync with yourself, everyone and everything around you knows it. You can tell by the quality of people or circumstances you're attracting in a given week. Are they cooperative or uncooperative? All other non-negotiables orbit around the foundational relationship we hold with ourselves and our spiritual core. The simple term for this is soul. Within our soul is where we cultivate the strength to conquer life's battles. But before we can even affect our outer world, including our own physical vitality and families, we must develop and nourish our inner world. All religions are converging pathways back to our soul, which can be discovered on the altars of countless faiths or traversed regularly through meditation. Whatever you have that works for you, I am 100% completely down with. At a young age, I was thrown off course by a fire and brimstone TV evangelist, but decades of insatiable, tireless seeking have proven the same universal truth found in every religion. When we express enough gratitude, create enough space, and truly listen, the answers have been inside us all along. We just need to shut down our ever-increasingly noisy outer world long enough just to let them through. I've intersected with my soul during weddings, whether in a pew or later on the dance floor. I've certainly felt the magnitude of being during the natural births of each of our three kids. Your soul can be felt within the panorama of breathtaking natural beauty or hearing an immaculate funk groove bump on the jukebox. You can't let your soul become something you merely run into on occasion. You have to practice regular contact and build that relationship the same way you would any other. Regular contact with the soul is the difference between having to pull off for fuel every few miles or riding shotgun alongside yourself in the front seat of an endless love roller coaster. Since starting with it 7 years ago, I've recently increased my meditation practice to twice daily. I found the more I take on and the deeper levels of happiness I experience, the more time I need to spend in meditative communion. But my soul is my primary, absolute non-negotiable because I'm not willing to sacrifice any inner guidance for any potentially temporary aspect of my life. Our free will and creative expression as self-aware beings drives everything else. So if Daddy doesn't have his vibe on, I'm sorry, but he doesn't have much to offer. He's now vulnerable to the wicked nonsense of the world, and all his bullshit will roll downhill. The flip side of this, of course, is that when Daddy tunes up with his inner shredder, he is now ready and willing to melt faces with searing finger-tapping solos screaming, "Yes, yes, yes!" while performing impossibly deep lunges. When we are in tune with our soul, the entire universe conspires to work through us, and all of us are better off by that example. So if you're going to rock any non-negotiables on some level, you must bring your gorgeous soul with you. You two are going to need to get along. You'll need that calm, all-knowing part of you when life gets crazy. All right, let's look at a couple quick ways to put this information into practice. Ideally, we want to find that one thing that we can't not do each day that unquestionably fills us up, makes us feel more centered, more focused, more calm in this chaotic life. So this can be something like meditating or prayer or journaling. You know, I know certain older women typically that do needlepoint, just something that requires focus, but also at the same time, putting your mind on autopilot to just kind of relax and just be. Let's not confuse this with physical activity at this point, because physical activity we're going to cover in the vitality section. So let's pick that one thing. All right, you got it? Now we're going to turn this into a habit. So how I conquered my meditation practice, I had just as hard of a time, if not more of a hard time than most people, because I had that typical monkey mind when I started 7 years ago. And your mind will fight you tooth and nail telling you that you're not supposed to meditate. Why shut it off? You know, enjoy the show. Let's keep the worrying going, all that fun stuff. But the only way to do it is to form a habit. So there's a great new book out called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. I would definitely recommend that to you. It's a very powerful book. But in it, he defines how to create a habit with a thing called the habit loop. All the habit loop is three different ingredients. It's a trigger, what triggers the habit. It's the habit itself, and then it's the reward. So if you're going to reverse engineer that, let's figure out what this reward is going to be for the habit that we're going to put together around this soul practice. So I think I covered it in the intro here, but just knowing that you're going to feel more centered, more peaceful, more able to let the crazy nonsense of the world just reflect off of you if you do this practice every day, that's the reward. So if we know that we're striving for that, we plug in the habit itself, which you already defined in the first part of this. So for me, it's meditation. And then the trigger. And the trigger is very important because this is the thing that's going to make the habit loop start every day, ideally every morning before you head into your day. So for me, I set the trigger as opening my eyes each morning. So opening my eyes, I tend to remember that the first thing I want to do to fill myself up is to get into a meditative state. So I have a meditation ashram up in my attic, almost directly above where my bedroom is. And as soon as I open my eyes, I look at the ceiling and I almost look through the ceiling thinking, I need to get my butt out of bed and up into my lotus posture so I can connect before I take on my day. And ideally that happens before the kids' feet hit the floor, before everybody's awake, just so I could feel nice and centered. Another suggestion there is to really think about it the night before you go to bed. So you don't have to put all the pressure on opening your eyes and in your groggy state, remembering to do what you set out to do. But before you go to bed, you ideally inventory some of the great things that happened to you that day, and then set the intention that you want to hop into your soul practice right when you wake up. And it might not be easy that first or second or third or fifth or 10th day, but I guarantee you that setting that intention every night will make you predisposed to hopping out of bed and making it happen. So those are my two suggestions, and I'll catch up with you in the next installment. Thanks for checking out this Epic Life podcast. You can subscribe to future episodes on iTunes. Hit us up on Twitter at This Epic Life. And for exclusive content, including outtakes from the manifesto, please visit thiseepiclife.com. You can sign up in the upper right. Namaste.